Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. This week you're here with Ben and Eddie.
Hello.
And Kirk.
Hello.
Again, we're not with Pete. Pete's having mic issues. We don't know whether that's his fault or whether it's just random dumb luck.
It's but probably his fault.
Are you sure he's not dead?
I don't think he's dead.
Are you sure he's dead?
I don't know. Look, I haven't seen him.
No, exactly. I don't think any of us have seen him.
We were literally speaking to him half an hour ago.
No, we weren't.
I haven't seen him.
You were talking to a ghost.
Do you think that was
Eddie?
A pre-recorded message?
No, it was a ghost. It was a ghost.
But we also... He could have died in the intervening period. Who knows? So yeah. But Pete's not here. That's the crux of that one. So that's a shame. But hopefully back next week. You can't beat the old technical issues. So, which we've spent the last hour and a half trying to sort. So... Here we are. Here
nice
we are.
Late
sorry again. About that.
Yeah, nice late start and a late finish, no doubt. But yeah, so we're going to be going through the news, the new releases, what we've been playing this week, and our feature this week will focus on games that have come out and, how should we put this, they've been met with a negative reception.
I mean,
and then wow, how have they turned it round or not turned it round?
I mean, I think a better title would be Backlash in Gaming, who redeemed themselves and who didn't.
Well, if you put that at the top of the doc,
that probably would have helped. Yeah, sorry.
That would have helped. Yeah, so very good. So, want to repeat that again, Kurt?
Yeah. The Backlash in Gaming, who redeemed themselves and who didn't. That's
fantastic. What a title. Would have been amazing if that had been put right at the top.
Yeah,
but yeah, look forward to that later on. We've got some biggies there to talk about. But let's move on to the news, shall we? Kirk, do you want to start us off? Because you've got a topical one, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a topical one. It's very, very relevant. So, 800,000 people are playing Forza Horizon 5, and it's not even out yet. So, this has been reported by Eurogamer. So, they've reported that VGC spotted on the game's Hall of Game. Not, I thought that was Hall of Fame, but it's not. It's Hall of Game.
Okay.
A leaderboard on there, that there are over 800,000 players already playing the game on PC and Xbox, and that's before the game's official release date, which is Tuesday, tomorrow, or yesterday if you're listening today. So
sorry.
Yeah, I know. You got that bang on, but that sounded weird, right?
Yeah.
No, he's right. He's right. Everything he said was right,
sense.
But it sounds so weird. Like, we do know where Kirk lives, time works in a different way. So,
hey, those claps, yeah. they sync up, baby. They sync up.
Yeah, sorry, this is an inside joke that we're now doing, so let's move on.
So, yeah, basically... The way to get hold of early access was to pay the £84.99 premium, which is of the game on the Microsoft Store. I think it's about $90 in the US as well. But to think that almost a million people have done that's insane. Knowing that this game is coming day one to Game Pass only, what, 4-5 days later, that's a huge amount of people that wanted to buy it to get involved with it. So... Basically, this has been all over Twitter. The game's been all over Twitter, and everyone is singing its praises. I don't think I've seen one bad comment about the game. Everyone is going batshit for it, essentially. And to put this into perspective, so obviously 100 million copies sold, you know, that's really good, especially considering the current state of affairs with the world and whatnot. But to put that in perspective... Resident Evil Village sold 4.5 million copies in its first 2 months. That's 2 months, and it's already sold a quarter of that. So now I know with Game Pass, it's a bit hard to tell with the statistics and whatnot, but even so, money's coming in from somewhere, which is the subscription. So that's a lot of players on that game. That's huge.
I do think it's insane because... this story's been all over the place, hasn't it? This is it's huge news. I don't think anybody, probably the people at Forza did, but expected this many people to buy the game a few days early.
Yeah.
When it's coming to Game Pass, and the whole thing has been day one Game Pass, day one Game Pass. Oh, but you can buy it for between 70 and 85 quid or whatever it is to have it a few days earlier, and
now-
people have just. Done it.
That does come with DLC and a few extra cars,
yes.
And stuff, but not something that I would personally value as worth it for almost 100 quid.
Yeah, I appreciate
that's me.
That's
me who is a racing
fan. Huge
fan. But
like, I... But there have been so many normal people, like, not in the industry and stuff, who have been buying this game, which is just... It's mental. But even if you said, let's say, a quarter of those... Which is... This isn't true. But let's say a quarter of those people somehow didn't pay for the game. It was, like, codes or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, keys.
Even
stuff,
if you knocked it down a little bit, it's still fucking huge.
Yeah.
And so they've made absolute bank on this. There is a bigger issue attached to this, though, that in some people's eyes. So what if Kirk and Eddie, they turned around and said for Halo, because we know Halo Infinite's being released when in December?
8th.
8th of December. Mm-hmm. What if they said, you can play this early from the 3rd of December if you paid £70? Would you be annoyed by that?
I wouldn't, would be,
because they said it was day one Game Pass.
No, I wouldn't be annoyed because I know what Game Pass's value is for me, and I know that the game's coming out on that day. I've set myself up for that, and I'm okay with that. So a few days is not going to hurt me. How many games have been released early access if you pay a premium, like your Call of Duties and your Battlefields and all that? They do it, don't they? They give you a few extra days to play over everybody else. So.
I'm with you in spirit, and I'll be interested to hear what Eddie thinks on this, but I'm with you on spirit there, Kirk, but you know what I'm like.
Yeah, yeah, you're obviously going to buy it, and you're going to buy it again, and you'll triple and dip if you could.
Yeah, I'm the guy that will do that, and that's a problem for people like me, and yes, I should be able to control myself a little bit more, but I'm also the same person that bought FIFA, I think, 2016 or something. I bought the £90 version to get it 3 days before.
Of course you did.
I didn't even like FIFA. Like, it's... I'm that guy. Like, so... I won't want to be left behind, but I have to force myself to change. But, Eddie, would you be annoyed that they've said day one Game Pass, and then actually they do these early access versions, which are a few days previous?
It's difficult, because in a way, it's kind of pay to win, in the sense of, like, with FIFA, they did that, didn't they? How much was it to
Absolutely.
Buy it a week before?
You're 100% right, yeah.
Yeah, and it may, and for that reason, people got ahead with getting good teams. They got ahead with learning the mechanics. So in that retrospect, it pisses me off. But I don't know. With a game like Forza, where you get hold of the mechanics pretty early. I've said before, I don't mind things like scalping. I know that's controversial to say, but I do believe that if you have the money and you want to buy something a little bit earlier or even a little bit better, I think people shouldn't be, criticised.
No, they
that.
Shouldn't be.
So,
they shouldn't be penalised, should they?
Yeah. So, for example, if it was like Skyrim, I think if they went like, look, it's on Game Pass in 2 weeks' time, but you can pay £70 extra. To get it a few weeks early, I'd be all on board. In fact, I would say thank you, developers. That's really cool, because people who really want to play it, they have that option to do so.
Can I just say, I've just got this other thought on this, actually. It's just popped into my mind. Because this game was coming out on Game Pass, obviously they can have their add-ons, their bundles, etc., which they will make more money from. I don't think Forza 5 has microtransactions, but it will have DLCs and stuff that you can buy. But by having this early access package, don't you feel it gives them an idea of what, like testing the water of, is this game what people want? And do they want it enough? Like, obviously, you could have all those million people play it on day one Game Pass when it comes out anyway, but it allows them to kind of get a new statistic on it.
I would have thought Forza 4 would have been all they needed for that. I get what you're saying, though, because even Forza 4 has been on
Game
Pass
for
so long. Yeah, so they're getting a feel for the monetization that they need through Game Pass and what they can get out of it. I'm not fully against it, because, to be honest, like, I think you're right, Kurt, when you say I've set my heart on a date and I've gone, oh, Forza's out on Tuesday. I haven't bought Forza in advance. I know everyone's playing it.
To be fair, you did think it was out on your birthday last week.
I did, actually, because that was the day that it really came out for everyone else. But sorry, I would have was going to buy it then. But I am willing to wait for Game Pass. But Game Pass is, I think it's something so new in my mind that I go like, yeah, I'll just wait for Game Pass.
A few days, like, is not going to fucking hurt, is it?
No, it's not. But I'm interested to see, because the reviews on Forza have been stellar.
Yeah.
They've been amazing.
Yeah.
Not a bad word said about it. There's two things that come to mind. Like, yes, this has to seriously be in contender for Game of the Year now because it's the highest rated game on Metacritic this year. Which has had more than like two reviews or something. So if it's had more than, let's say, 10 critic reviews, this is the highest game on Metacritic. But secondly, like, Forza 4 I thought was good, and it was good for, like, I enjoyed it. There's a couple of weeks that I played it, and I talked to you about it, Kirk, didn't I?
Yeah.
It was a great bit of fun. But equally, there was no point to the game. I could see.
It's just to go and have fun though, isn't it? That's what it's about. But this new one is probably the first next gen experience on the Xbox that we've got. And
yeah,
it's a game which runs on an 8-year-old console as well.
Hey, well, we're going to play it tomorrow, and if you're listening to this day today, you've probably played it yesterday. I'm really looking forward to it, as well as Football Manager, which is tomorrow as well.
Nice.
So that's good stuff. But Eddie, what's your story for the week?
Ooh, I've actually pre-installed Football Manager.
Oh, yeah,
I even stopped playing it this week.
You can pre-install the next one.
Are you fucking kidding me? You can, any game that's been confirmed, you can preload. I've had...
Oh, cunt off, Kirk. I don't keep up with everything.
I've had Forza installed for like a month and a half.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Weird, bro.
Wow.
Weird.
Okay, we'll teach you offline.
Eddie, I can definitely pre-install that, yeah?
Yep, pre-installed it today.
And lovely, then I'll do that.
Because it comes up, when you install it, it comes up with a huge green play button. And I was like, hang on, have I pulled a fast one? And then
let's
it went,
go.
You cannot play. I was
like, all right. Come back at a later date.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it obviously says release date the 9th, so.
In fairness, I have pre-installed Forza, but just I didn't know you could do that on every single game that was coming out, so that's cool.
And when I saw you pre-installed it, I loaded up Football Manager to play it today, and I was like, what's the point?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the scouting report came up, and I went, "I can't be fucked with this because I'm never going to see."
I've even decided, I think, who I'm going to be. I'm going to be Wrexham, I think, because of what's his face?
Ryan Reynolds and Always Sunny guy.
Rob,
Always Sunny guy.
McElhaney or something, isn't it?
Yeah, those two. So I'm going to be I'm going to be Wrexham manager.
Nice. Oh, what league are they in?
I think League Two.
Oh, brilliant! Right, I will see you there then.
I believe Lee too.
All right, my anyway. New story. Konami delays eFootball's proper launch until spring 2022, and it cancels the controversial £33 premium player pack. So this is from Eurogamer, but pretty much everyone has been talking about Konami's eFootball because it's the old PES. And it has not gone down well with fans. So version 1.0, which was due to come out on the 11th of November, so probably 2 days after this podcast release, has been postponed to spring 2022, Konami said to the press today. The mobile version of the game is meant to come out as well, but that's been postponed as well, same time, spring. Konami has also pulled eFootball's controversial premium player back from sale. Its items need the 1.0 version to able to work, so they've had to pull that anyway. And all pre-orders for it will be automatically refunded. eFootball launched its extremely limited form. Konami linked it to a demo with offline 1v1 matches against the computer and online 1v1 matches in a challenge event, the only modes that game to play. I actually installed this thinking it was the full game and just played a couple one-on-one games against the computer and uninstalled it pretty quickly. The launch went so badly that eFootball became the worst reviewed game ever on Steam. Konami said in a statement, unfortunately, we have concluded that more time is needed to deliver the product in the quality that will meet the expectations of our users, and have decided to postpone the delivery. We sincerely apologise for the inconvenience this caused our users and other stakeholders who have been looking forward to this title. I brought this news story because A, our feature is about absolutely world fuck-ups of launches, and also Pro Evo, to the listeners, I know I say that I'm a FIFA guy. Until two FIFAs ago, I was a hardcore Pro Evo. I played Pro Evo my whole entire life, and I stayed away from FIFA all the time. I hated FIFA, in fact. I hated everything about FIFA. But this has got to be probably the biggest fall of any franchise ever.
When did they fall off? Or how did they fall off so hard? It's ridiculous. Because I remember all my friends used to be either FIFA or Pro Evo people. And the Pro Evo guys were, I guess, because it was more of an underdog, so that I guess they tried harder in the games and stuff, but it was genuinely a better game overall. It's just FIFA had the backing of FIFA.
It was always that cut. It was always the gameplay of Pro Evos were better. They just were. Like, with FIFA, I remember playing, like, FIFA, like, 98 or whatever, and when you threw in a one-on-one, you just knew you were going to score. Like, I played around my mates as a kid. All my mates, Ben, I think you were there at the time, they just refused to play me because I got Recoba of Inter Milan and just outside of the area because I knew how to curl the ball. Every single shot went in the goal.
It's ridiculously annoying.
And it just made FIFA look broken. While Pro didn't have that. Like, when you shot, you knew that ball could hit anything. It could hit the crossbar, the post. It could go narrowly wide. It could hit a player and deflect in. While FIFA, you just think, if I shoot, if I've done this right, it will go top corner. If I don't, it will go over. So it was always that way. But it's, fuck me, is it fallen.
And the bad thing about this, what they released, I know it's free to play, but it had like no game modes. Like, it was, as you said, it had like the one-on-one matches, whatever. You could only be a handful of teams as well. Like, it was just,
it was just not even AC Milan on it.
It was terrible. It was a terrible, I mean, not to mention the facial expressions and all the other crap that came with it. That
Ronaldo looked that fantastic, didn't he?
But the actual, but forgetting all that and forgetting like how the crowd looks and all that crap, it's what a disaster.
Well, a fun fact. Can I just say, fun fact on this one? I actually had I played the training on it earlier this week just to grab an achievement for something on the Xbox, and I played it using xCloud as well. And it played, to be fair, it played all right in terms of running on xCloud, but the game is not good.
It's not good. I think this game could be, if we ran our feature in a year's time, it could. Maybe it could get in that feature.
Absolutely, because this could be... I mean, is this the death of Pro Evo? I mean, obviously they've changed the name already, but... devastating. Yes.
Oh, it's dead. I think even Pro Evo diehards have turned their back on this one.
It's still Konami, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Konami, what are they thinking? Some shit's gone on over there.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've ruined so much.
Oh, well. It's unfortunate for Pez. It was a childhood hero, wasn't it? But Pete's story this week was to mention the Elden Ring gameplay footage. Did either of you catch that, or is this just me?
I caught glimpses. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it does look pretty good. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. So Pete and I watched it. We kind of chatted about it a little bit, but it looks brilliant. It looks very Dark Souls-esque, obviously. Graphically, I thought it looked excellent. The world itself, very, very open. The bosses, very grand. Like, the movement seems incredibly fluid, but the changing from horseback and otherwise seems great. It seems like just a... it seems like a bigger, better, grander version of Dark Souls. It's going to be... very, 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 very different experience. The dungeons as well. I love the fact, like, in the world dungeon, it's all like Skyrim-esque in terms of the finding of a dungeon here and there or whatever, and what you could do and what you could find inside, the bosses that you may or may not see in your playthrough, depending if you go down this route or that route. So it seems like Dark Souls meets Skyrim in a way to me. From that world setting type of way, because in Skyrim you could just walk around and then suddenly you'd come across this random dungeon or something, which is fucking awesome. So it looked brilliant, and I think the general consensus is it looks even better than people thought it would.
Heard that, lots of rumblings on Twitter about it.
I thought it looked exceptional. I was very, very pleased to see it. I don't need to be sold anymore on it, because obviously it's a day one and it's a must play for me. So but I think this is one, I don't want to steal his thunder for next week, but Pete's bought a Series S, hasn't he? So I think one of the reasons one of the reasons he wanted that was obviously for Halo, but also Elden Ring.
Yeah,
he wants a next gen console for it. So he's upgraded, and yeah, that'll be on the purchase list. But aside from that, my story is a bit more of like an Eddie fluffer, I would say.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've gone down the fluffy route because I didn't see it as a massive news week for gaming, really.
No.
Nothing really happened. The big stories that were really discussed in gaming this week, we discussed in last week's pod. So, I've picked up that Neil Druckmann, the man behind The Last of Us games, his time on set for The Last of Us TV series has wrapped up. Mm. So that may imply that the series as a whole is kind of wrapping up being filmed as well. So they filmed it in Canada, which is nice. There's a bit of snow in the game. There's certainly snow in the second one, but there's a bit of snow in the game, so that kind of makes sense. Love a bit of snow. He co-wrote the show, and he served as a director on a few of the episodes, so he's been really, really heavily involved in production. So as I said, it signals that production may be wrapping up, and that's a great thing for fans of the series. Now, 10 episodes, they're expecting it to be 10 episodes, which is great because, you know, a lot of these American series, they sometimes are like 20 episodes long and stuff.
Oh, they're doing it. They're doing it proper, aren't they, with this?
They do it proper, like The Witcher, you know, 10 episodes, and it will be, you know, it won't be filler, it'll just be bosh. I think it's the story of the first game. It was going to take 12 months to film, but this is looking good. There's no word on the date that this will actually come to our screens, and
it's just next, I don't even know next year, I think. At some
is
point,
it, is it? Do we know what platform is it? Netflix,
HBO. I was about to ask you a question. Do we know if it's what UK
over here?
Yeah,
no.
Which one in the UK? I don't know picks up HBO stuff normally. I imagine I wouldn't be surprised if it's Sky Atlantic.
I was just about to say Sky Atlantic. I think
because isn't HBO what Game of Thrones was aired
yes,
with?
It is. Yes. I was trying to work out. Yes, Game of Thrones. So whatever Game
like of Thrones played over here. Sky Atlantic did Game of Thrones. So.
But I think I'm not sure if Sky Atlantic actually have a staple deal with them, and it may just be a per show thing. So who knows who may pick it up? But hopefully it comes to an Amazon or a Netflix or a Disney, preferably.
It's got to come out over here because it's a huge game. It sold by the fucking boatload, didn't it?
I think if they want it to do really well in the UK, I think they need it on one of the major platforms, the Amazon, Netflix or Disney. I think they need to avoid the Sky Atlantic.
I just found out it is Sky Atlantic. They're picking it up.
Are they?
Yeah.
I think that's obviously... I think that's bad for the general public.
A lot of people have Now TV.
Yes, they do. A lot of people do. I think, but their reach is limited by going through Sky Atlantic in the UK.
Totally agree.
So, well, we'll see. But are you guys excited? Because I'm excited for this series. I love the game, and I think it's going to have a massive impact on sales of the game, and also hype for these, you know, either remake of the first one or the multiplayer of the second one, and even a third part three with Abby, I'd say. So, are you guys excited for this one?
Eddie, you can go first.
Yeah, massively excited. I'm not only excited because it's a game turned into a TV series like The Witcher. I mean, I fucking love The Witcher TV series. I guess I was always going to. But it's always got... who's the main actor in it?
Pedro Pascal.
That's it. I fucking love him.
He's great,
absolutely
isn't he?
Love him.
Yeah.
Not only in The Mandalorian, but I think Narcos is one of my favourite series of all time.
And he was in Game of Thrones.
Yes, he was the cool guy in Game of Thrones, wasn't he?
He was really cool.
Yeah, the cool guy in Game of Thrones and Mandalorian, obviously. So, yeah, sold on that.
Absolutely. No, I'm looking forward to it as well. And I would probably pick up a Now TV subscription for it. I played the first game and I loved it. I thought the story was fantastic. And seeing that on screen will be quite something, I think. I think they'll do it justice.
I think The Last of Us is a... is a very good game. It's a solid 8 out of 10 game for me. The Last of Us 2 is a 10 out of 10 for me. I think it's up there with the best.
They'll do the sequel, mate, and then they're sort out Pedro Pascal's character in the first like episode.
Yeah,
just like they did in Game of Thrones, like killing him off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spoilers.
Wait, you're telling me the main character dies in the second one?
I mean, the amount of times that any new listeners, we apologise because.
But if you went there might be a few new listeners actually. Sorry.
Yeah, but if you went through the back catalogue, then you could be so many times with that game, so that's on you now, not me. Right, yeah, that's the news. We haven't got any more, have we?
No, that's, I don't think so. That's good.
That's us for the week. So should we move on to new releases? And just before we do, shall I just point out the PS Plus games for November?
Go for it.
We've got Knockout City, which I think previously was a PS Plus game as well. That's the game where you could play up to like level 20 for free. And then...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember.
Pay
yeah.
if you liked it.
We spoke yeah. about it a little while ago, didn't we? Mechanic.
Yeah, yeah. And actually... For a dodgeball game, it's actually quite quite decent.
Sorry, just a quick question on that one. Now, PS Plus games, they're the ones that you get to keep. Is that right?
For as long as you've got PS Plus, I think.
Yeah. So does that? Do we know if that still stands with the 20 level 20 thing on there? Or
yes, I think you'll get it to keep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forevermore.
Cool.
I think it's just going for a PS Plus and then. Yeah, free-to-play cool. model, presumably. But, yeah, I assume it's beyond the level 20 thing, and I think it's just yeah. there. But we've not done our research, and you've asked solid questions there, Kirk, so I don't know
Thanks,
what,
Kirk.
You know, I don't know what you're doing that for. But anyway, Knockout City is the first one. The second one is First Class Trouble. This is the one that we saw at the PlayStation event last week, which was the blatant Among Us clone. The 3D Among Us clone.
The 3D one, yeah.
Yeah, the one that we said had to come to PS Plus because...
And it has.
What the fuck? And it has. And the last one is Kingdoms of Amalur, The Re-Reckoning. And it's a third-person action RPG. 2012, you put here already. Yeah, that was... Was that a big... That is a well-known game, isn't it? The name rings... I've never played it.
Never played it.
No, but... If you've never played it and you want to play it, you can. And also, they're bringing a number of VR games out this month for people. So The Persistence, The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, and Until You Fall. So that's the PS Plus lineup for November.
Those are the ones that are because it's the PSVR's anniversary, isn't it?
Yeah. And so I think this is quite a bumper month for the PS Plus games,
I think
to be honest.
I think it needs to be honest, because of what's coming out on Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah. It's PS Plus is a very, very weird beast. It's up and down with what it does for you at the moment. And PlayStation don't seem to really care usually, which is quite worrying. Mm. But anyway, on to the new releases of the week, Eddie.
Yeah, cool. I didn't know you can do that. I actually had to do the research on those shitty little games. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought I'd just... Yeah, no worries.
No, much appreciated. Right, the first one, I can't even pronounce it. Do you want to pronounce that one?
Saijin.
Saijin?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go. I was going to go with Seijin. So I'm very...
Seijin.
C-Y-J-I-N for the listeners.
It's a Saijin. I like Saijin. All right. Saijin, the cyborg ninja. Probably quite self-explanatory if I just finish the name. Coming out November 10th on PC. I've put Platform Shitter. It looks like one of those shitty little sideways scroller games, which, Ben, I know you love. So have you seen this one?
Yeah, I have. I can't... I mean, I feel like Platform Shitter is not... The nicest of
no, it's a very
you can't
it's
put,
very
you couldn't put that on the box art.
It's opinionated, it isn't it? Yeah,
but I'm finding it hard to come up with anything else to put on the box art. So
shit platformer, yeah, okay. Go with that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
We're not. Yeah.
So fine. If you like your shitty little platform games, then there it is coming out. Next one, fine. Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster, coming out on PC on November 10th. I actually had a look at one of these videos, and it does look quite good. The next bit I've put is Pete question mark, because I know he loved Final Fantasy V.
Pete's dead.
So, but yeah. Ben, you played, which Final Fantasy, did you play V?
No, I haven't, but do you remember like last week or the week before was it 5 or was it 4 that they were doing the Pixel remaster of?
It was 5, yeah.
Oh, was it? We talked about it then. It was like, it's saying the only thing, I don't think this looks bad or anything. Mm. The only thing remarkable about this is why it's not on other platforms.
Hmm.
Why is it just on PC?
Yeah,
that seems ridiculous. Yeah, Pixel remaster, put it on the fucking Switch.
What did the original come out on? PlayStation 1, maybe?
I think it's probably even before that. Might even have been on, like, the SNES.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a bit weird it's coming out on PC. I wouldn't have thought it'd be
of all the platforms, don't put it on PC. Like, who's sitting down to play a lovely pixel remaster on their PC?
With their mouse and keyboard, yeah.
Yeah, who's fucking doing that anyway?
Moving on.
Next one is Beyond Blue, coming out on Switch on November 11th. This is a single-player narrative adventure game. It's a bit weird. It's kind of a game set underwater. A lot of the tags have educational in. I've compared it to Subnautica only because then everyone kind of gets at least what kind of game it is. But it looks quite beautiful. It looks quite nice.
Apparently it's inspired by BBC's Blue Planet 2 documentary series. Ah,
right.
Yeah, it looks like Subnautica. It looks like a better... Graphically, it looks like a better quality Subnautica. I think it's harsh because Subnautica was lovely.
I think you just go around looking at things, though, don't you? Like, it's just teaching you about
that's what it
stuff
looks
in
like.
The ocean. So
yes.
Yes, yeah, it's not like a Subnautica survival game, but it certainly has that look to it, and it seems lovely and just yeah, just a lovely time.
Yeah, lovely time. Educational as well, apparently. So there you go.
There we go.
That for your kids. Next one is Breakwaters PC. November 11th. This is an island hopping survival adventure game. It looks quite good. It looks like a third person kind of comical Rust. Maybe a little bit of Valheim if Valheim was a bit more happier.
And a little better.
And the twist is they've got like Titans as the baddies, as the bosses. And I've got to admit, the Titans look awesome to take down. So, but then it's got all the survival elements like, you know, crafting and growing your crops and stuff. I think this could be quite good.
Looks like you can part the seas as well.
Oh, there you go.
The aesthetics give it that feel that it's quite basic, though, in its survival.
Yes, yeah, so I actually got that impression as well. I think it was the way the guy was running around. He looks like a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
and like the details of like the grass and the rocks didn't look too great.
So what you're saying is you don't like the art style.
I will get this if it comes on deal. I think I will.
Oh, right, okay, right. Interesting.
Yeah, it'll have to be a big deal, but
that's... Well, that goes for any game. That's not this game specifically.
Yes, exactly.
It's just, yeah, fine.
Exactly. Okay. Next one is Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition, coming out PC, PlayStation, Xboxes, and Switch, November 11th. Are we all excited for that?
Yeah. It's the digital version, isn't it? That's the that's the thing on that one. It's mm-hmm. just the digital because the
so okay,
physical
baby,
comes
San
out.
Andreas comes out on, what was it, the 11th? So that's Friday? No, Thursday.
Yes, San Andreas,
or
that trilogy,
you're listening now.
Is day one Game Pass, so that is pretty good.
Yeah,
I think that will get a tremendous number of downloads, and I think from that people will go out and buy the trilogy.
Hey, guess what, Ben? I pre-installed it.
Did
you? Can do
I
that.
Didn't know you.
Yeah, you can
do
that. Do
that.
Yeah, you can do that.
All right, cool, man. Cheers, Eddie.
Yeah,
fucking cheers, Eddie. You prick.
It's all right, buddy.
What are you saying, Kurt?
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah, next.
So, all right, next one is Kanga. I'm going to call it that. Kanga, Seeds of Civilization. Coming out on PC November 11th. It's a fantasy village builder where your environmental affects your culture, technology, and strategy. It looks like a good, quirky village builder, which I always love. But I the only thing that really puts me off is the weird art style of the people. But if you like your village builders, then...
They do look weird, don't they? I mean, don't put it down too much, because I have tried to get you a review code for this game, Eddie.
Oh.
So you might be reviewing that one, baby.
If they've heard the podcast, they probably won't give us the key.
Yes, so don't say no more. I think it looks great.
It looks like it could be good. I just don't like...
No, I think genuinely it does, but it is stylized, isn't it?
It's just weird that, like, it looks like the people are, like, kind of comic book drawn.
Yeah, they're,
on.
Like, cartoony. Yeah. But I think that's the style where they're, like, almost on the background.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll review that when we get our code, then.
Or not,
or
given
not.
This.
And so, then I can slander them properly next week.
Yeah. Lovely.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, next one is... Killer in the Cabin, coming November 11th to PC. Among Us with survival elements. That's what I've put on this one.
Is it that? I thought I got the impression it was a cooperative survival game.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like in rounds or anything. I got the impression it was just like a co-op survival game.
Yes, so it's exactly that, but at any point you can call a meeting and you can kind of get rid of someone.
Oh, right. Oh,
that's just like Among Us.
Brilliant, Kirk. Thank you.
Thanks, Kirk.
Yeah, but yes, there are. It is like kind of focused on like keeping your cabin warm and making sure you got food and stuff.
You know what put me off this game?
Mm.
I watched the video trailer for it, and that's supposed to make you want the game. And when the characters in the game were speaking, it had like little, almost like YouTubers in the corner, like repeating the words and trying to be like funny. And I just thought, I don't want any part in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It put me right off. It wasn't advertised to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I found the blurb. You can start a vote for who the killer is at any time, and if more than half of the players agree, the respected player dies. But you won't know if you have voted off the actual killer before the end of the game session.
Right, there we go.
So it's one of those that they've obviously seen Among Us. They've seen how popular it is, and they go, well, we kind of like fun co-op survival puzzle games, so let's do it. And lovely. Let's see if it works. I'll be interested. I'll come back in a few weeks and see what those review scores are. But until then, the next one is... I have to scroll down. I was going to say Among Us with survival elements. No, that's not it. It's Skyrim Special Edition.
Whoa. Eddie, what are you doing here?
Ben, if you're going to...
For 2 weeks now, you haven't culled anything. And now you're culling Mega Aquarium?
Yes. That's great. Would you like to talk to us about that game?
Well, I think the developers would, because I've asked for a review code.
Oh, shit.
It's a DLC as well.
I know. I've asked for the original game and the DLC.
For fuck's sake. Why, it Ben? It's an aquarium game, yeah?
Yeah, it looks fantastic. It's like theme hospital or whatever, but for aquariums. Magnificent. Anyway, comes out 11th of November, the DLC.
Please developers, check out the original game.
Yeah.
Please. They're going to give us a key for the DLC, but not the actual game, you know that.
No, I made it very clear that I wanted the original game and the DLC.
They're going to listen to the podcast and they're going to immediately block the key once it's been used.
Yes, because Eddie didn't want to read it out.
I did not want to review. I didn't want to read out a DLC for a game that looks shit. Why?
I asked for the Switch key for this because I want to play it.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Right, next game.
Next game, a little bit better. Skyrim Special Edition coming out PC, PlayStations, Xboxes, November 11th. I did look up what's so special about this. Along with the critically acclaimed game and add-ons, Skyrim Special Edition has all new features like remastered art and effects, dynamic depth of field, screen space reflections, our Volmeric God rays, and more. So it sounds like it's just a super graphical version, really.
Well, I really want to see what these volumeric god rays are.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds fucking amazing.
I'll tell you what, that was one of the news stories I saw this week, that they're going to bring out quite soon Skyrim Next Gen Edition, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, yeah, they are. I saw it in the news, I think it was today. You know what?
Really?
You say all this aside, I can't wait to see that on my new Xbox. I would love to see Skyrim.
Oh, that game holds the fuck up today, though. It plays great.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going away of Rockstar with GTA.
Yeah, but that's fine because Skyrim was an absolute gem. One of the best games of all time.
How long ago did that come out?
Probably 2013.
Yeah. By the looks of it, yesterday.
Yeah, it's so fucking good.
It's no Forza Horizon, though, eh, Kirk?
Fucking idiot. Eddie. Don't trash, all right? Could be game of the year.
Yeah, I know. A fucking zoomy game is going to be game of the year.
Zoomy game?
God,
jeez.
Okay.
I can't wait for the chat on our game of the year for the zoomy game.
Oh, fucking hell. You know what's great? Even if it is known widely as the best ever, Kirk, you know that's never getting through round one with me, Ben, and Pete.
Yeah, well, it depends on the setup, doesn't it? If we've got anything like the console one, then everything's game, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone wants to shaft Ben. All right, move on.
Fucking don't bring Persona 5 along then. Right, next one. Star Wars Knights of the Old Ridiculous. Republic coming out on Switch. Ben, you're excited about this?
Yeah, I mean, I love the game. I know, Eddie, famously, you haven't played this game. Famously,
yes, this comes up on a weekly basis. This
fucking blows me and Pete's mind.
Same here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of expect it of you, Kirk, but Eddie, no.
this game
is a fucking masterpiece. It's a classic. It's obviously being remade for the PlayStation 5, and they announced this like a week after the PS5 remake announcement. So that was even better. Just to kind of say, yeah, we got that on the Switch, the old one. I think it's coming out probably about 15 quid, which, you know, it feels like a swizz because it's such an old game, but it's fucking brilliant. If you like Mass Effect, you like Knights of the Republic. So Mass Effect was the next game on from, made by the same people, BioWare, the next game on from Knights of the Old Republic. So it's Mass Effect in the Star Wars universe. It's fucking brilliant. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it coming out.
Cool. What do you think it'll be like on Switch?
I think it'll be very good. The reason I say this is because I recently replayed half of it on the Xbox.
Oh, right.
Because it was on Game Pass a while ago. Yeah. But I stopped playing it because I just couldn't be asked to load it up on the TV anymore. Like, I wanted to watch some TV or something. I don't want to play this fucking old game on there. But I will play it on the Switch. I really will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll do really well.
If I had a Switch, I would as well. Next one, and I can't believe I don't know how to pronounce this because I played this so much as a kid, is it Gynaug? Do you
I'm
know?
I'm not even going to try. Not even going to try.
I'd call it Gynaug.
Gynaug? Yeah, G-Nog. Maybe.
Sorry.
That G-Nog? Rolls off the tongue better than Gynaug.
Right, it's for listeners, it's spelled Gynoug. So
please get in touch with us and let us know what it is.
Pronounce it how you'd like.
Gynaug?
Gynaug. Gynaug.
Gynaug. Right.
Here we go.
Anyway, this game is a 1991 scrolling shooter video game. It's the game where the guy's got wings and he goes and he shoots through things. I fucking loved this as a kid. Oh, sorry, come out on PS4, Xbox, and Switch on November 12th. I absolutely loved this game as a kid. Did you ever play it?
No, I never played Gynaug.
Fuck's sake. You're not going to get past that, are you? Anyway, it's fucking amazing. Like, as you go, you get different, like, power-ups and stuff, and it makes you, like, shoot in different directions and special shoots and maybe even a shield. And it was, as a kid, it's the kind of games you play now, Ben, and are impressed, but this was much better, and it came out in 1991.
What does that mean? What does that even mean?
Oh, you're such a shit stirrer.
Like that shitty little game, was it Metroid Prime that came out this year? This is that.
What are you talking about?
Right, hang on.
You do that purposefully just to sound like a right little shitter, and just to wind me up.
Oh god!
Such nonsense.
Oh dear me. Right. Okay. Moving on. Punk Wars coming out.
Yes.
PC, yeah. November 12th. Combat heavy twist on a classic turn-based 4X strategy game.
I would have liked for Pete to be here on this one because he's the type of person where I kind of take his view on this, where if he wouldn't play it, I don't know who would.
Yes, yeah, because Pete loves his 4X games. It does look quite Civilization-y in a way.
It does in a way. Like I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, this looks quite cool, a bit Mad Max-y in a way. Okay, this looks quite cool. And then I watched the next video on Steam, which showed some gameplay, and I was like, ooh, okay, this looks boring. So I don't know where to land on that. I would have taken Pete. I would have loved Pete to look at this and tell us whether it looks any good. What do you think, Eddie?
Yeah, I don't think it looks good because I don't know. It looks a bit shitty. Like everything's brown for a start, which pisses me off.
I know. It looks depressing, right?
It does look like really the industrial depressing. Zone of SimCity.
Yeah.
It just, and you know what's funny? I know it says it's combat heavy, But I watched a video, a gameplay video, and I didn't say combat in like 10 minutes, so I had to quickly go on to another video. I was like, I'm going to stop watching this Let's Play and actually find out what the fuck's happening. I think it'll be shit. But yeah, I'm going to check in with Pete later on in the week and see what he says, because... Yeah, it's one of those. If it's highly rated, I'll probably wait for a deal and might get it, because I love a 4X game.
Yeah, yeah, fair play.
But until then, let's put that in the wish list. Next one, Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Tensei. You didn't do too badly there. I thought you were going to fuck that right up.
I thought the last one was the only one I got right.
No, Shin Megami Tensei 5, yeah. Huge release. The biggest release of the week. Bar... Forza, which isn't on this list because it was
last
tomorrow.
Week. It's a shitty zoomy game, yeah.
Yeah, but this, this game is going to be pretty damn popular. For those who don't know, Persona is a spin-off of this game.
Oh, so, I did not know that. There you go.
Yeah, no, this is the precursor to all. So Shin Megami Tensei is the granddaddy of these. And it was pretty much the original kind of monster demon collection game, like Pokemon. This was a precursor to Pokemon. The original Shin Megami Tensei was before Pokemon. And Persona is arguably an adult Pokemon game. This has incredibly high hopes. There are 50 reviews of it on Metacritic already, and it's got an 87 review. You could tell the confidence in this because the review started coming out 8 days before release.
Oh, they weren't allowing that to hold back then, were they?
Yeah, they didn't give a shit. They gave everyone codes. It's a 50-hour game. So they gave everyone codes in advance. I know YouTubers that have been playing it for weeks. Got their reviews out. It's they've just been taking it very, very easily. I mean, IGN have been panned a little bit because I think in their review of this they mentioned Persona like 12 times or something, and I think they said something like it was Persona without the personality or something like that, and then people point out that this is the original,
right?
This is the one. It's essentially, like you've written there, Eddie, a post-apocalyptic RPG where you're kind of like demon collecting. You kind of fuse with them just like Persona. It's a turn-based RPG. You're like a kid in Tokyo, and then one day everything goes wrong and you're fighting the battle of like heaven and earth and all that kind of stuff. So it's a classic.
On a bad day, that happens to me too.
on a bad day. I think I won't be able to stop myself getting this game. Ooh. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, that's coming out November 12th on Switch. So Ben will hear your review next week or the week after.
Yeah,
I think so. Last one is Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X. November 16th. It's an action-adventure mystery video game. So it looks like a lot of puzzles and at least graphically it looks quite good. You seen this?
Yeah. The Sherlock Holmes games are always a bit fucking dull, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I was also going to say, the guy, well, how they've depicted Sherlock, he looks like Adam Lambert.
Yes, he does.
He's some American singer-songwriter. I think he was on X Factor or something. He's not...
I wouldn't know.
Okay. It's fine. Well, anyway. Wow, that's my take.
Good. Fine. Right, them's the releases, aren't they? That's done.
Them's is.
Yeah, so the biggest two, I'd say, we've got Shin Megami Tensei, but the biggest two probably the day before you're listening to this podcast is Football Manager and Forza come out on Game Pass day one, baby. But yeah, shall we move on to what we've been playing?
Let's go.
Okay, shall we start with Eddie, because it was similar to what you were playing last week?
Yeah, exactly the same.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've been playing RimWorld. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's different. What I've done is I've got the new DLCs. I've got them both locked and loaded, so I've got basically the full game now. I've got two mods, which, if you've ever played RimWorld, please check them out, Empire and RimWar. And there's the beauty of the modding community. Is RimWorld is a colony management game, as I'm sure you know by now, but with these mods, it makes it a kind of a war strategy game. So it completely flips the whole game on its head. So modders, keep it up. And if you have RuneWorld, get these mods and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, that's it, me. It is annoying because I've bought Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, as I mentioned last week, so I do need to get around to playing them. I mean, I've obviously played them before, but I used to love them so much, and I do want to play them again. So, I don't know. I'm so engorged in RimWorld that we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Engorged.
Yeah. Do you mean
I'm
engorged?
I'm so engorged in it.
It's become a running joke because are you saying says words, it all the fucking time.
Are you saying words wrong on purpose? Just to piss Peter off?
He's dead.
You know what I love, Kirk? You know what I love? Do you know that Metacricket isn't a thing, yeah? And you said it the other week.
Yeah, I know. Said it. He wasn't even doing it as a joke.
No, I love it. I fucked up.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's my running joke, you piece of shit.
Oh, I love our friends.
Right. Good. Well, next week, I mean, Pete was going to talk about...
Don't steal it. Let him out.
I'm not going to talk about it. I have actually played it, but I'm not going to talk about it. But what I'm saying is next week, we're going to have a fucking action-packed week because we've got Age of Empires.
Forza.
We're going to have Forza. We're going to have Football Manager. Maybe Shin Megami Tensei. It's going to be action-packed.
And some more RimWorld.
maybe. Well, Eddie will talk about Football Manager, I'm sure. Because, you'll be moving on to a different strategy game, Football Manager.
Absolutely. I mean... I'm not going to review Football Manager because I assume it'll be the exact fucking same, like it always is.
I'm also interested that you didn't pick up that it wasn't, because when we didn't allow Football Manager in when we did the top three strategy games of all time, and I just called it a strategy game, and you would have allowed it, and I
you
had
know
that
why,
vetoed
ben?
Out. Remember?
Because we'd said it was more of a simulator game, but we all know that if Football Manager was put in the same bracket as Lawnmower Simulator and Gas Station Simulator, it's just going to get trampled.
It's going to get annihilated. Yeah, no, yeah. So it has to be in the strategy section.
Maybe RPG? I don't know.
Maybe RPG, yeah, building up your own character. Right, anyway, Kirk, what have you been playing?
I finished off Guardians this week.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, just last week, actually. I'll tell you what, fucking brilliant game, absolutely stellar, and the story was fantastic to follow, honestly. It's an original story, like I think I mentioned it last week. Original based on comics, but still. I think the whole thing took about 20 hours for me to complete, and I think that's good value for money, to be honest with you. Like, I paid 40 quid for it.
These days, I think it is.
Yeah.
20-hour game is solid.
And, I mean, I wasn't like, speedrunning it or anything. I was enjoying myself in, like, finding things and stuff like that. But it was a really, really, really fun time. I mean, basically, everything that I said last week still stands. The only thing I will mention is the combat was a little bit tedious towards the end, but not because of the lock-on system, Eddie, but because... After, as the story gets near the end of it, there were a few times where when a fight is called an encounter on the game and it says like encounter completed, and then you get like points and stuff like that, and then they add up to give you like skill points and stuff. The problem is when you end an encounter, you would normally get a breather and like a few minutes of like moving to the next section, discovering a new story, working out a couple of puzzles, and then you get into another encounter. But what seemed to happen at the end, near the end here, was it was like encounter completed, and then literally a few seconds later there'd be a new one starting. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it just goes through the motions of that again. It's just like, okay, I just want to kind of like progress with the story now. Other than that though, I honestly don't have anything bad to say about it, and if it's definitely a contender for my game of the year. It was just so much fun to play. I can't express that enough. It looked great. Story is fantastic. Controlled really well, and was one of those sleeper games that I didn't expect much from, but it came out fucking swinging.
Yeah, it probably helped that Guardians of the Galaxy. Was it no? What's the other one you played? The Avengers. That was a bit
the Avengers.
Shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But honestly, yeah. I mean, I know I mentioned last week about them using the word flark a lot for it, but I fucking love this. Honestly,
I tell you what's quite funny is what I've heard from a lot of streamers is actually quite the opposite. Like people said, they get into combat, and then just as they're kind of getting excited, then there's a huge like cutscene where it's a long time between combats again.
Yeah, see, I guess that's because I was enjoying the story more than the combat side of it. So, but that would make sense because that is the thing I really look for. The combat is just more of a side quest to the main game for me.
Right. Yeah.
But it was still enjoyable, and I had a lot of fun. I'm not faulting it at all. And someone asked me on Twitter what I would do to improve it if there was going to be a new game, and I said I honestly couldn't tell you how they could make it better.
Get rid of the fucking lock-on system.
Yeah, well, that's something for you, sure. Play the game, then have a fucking opinion, you dickhead.
Jesus Christ.
But honestly, I think if you want to pick it up, I know you won't, Eddie, because you're like some sort of toss bag. But Ben, if you want to pick it up at some point,
toss bag.
Is that a bag of toss? Kirk?
What is it? I know this would be really good. I know I'd enjoy it. But I think my issue, and I've said this before on the pod, is that I've spent too much time with Eddie and Pete.
Yeah.
And I don't have the inclination to get this game now, whereas I would be all over that. Like, this has me from a year ago written all over it.
Yeah, you'd love this game.
But I just can't do it now.
I wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I know this is a contender for Game of the Year in a lot of people's eyes as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if give it 6 to 12 months that this shows up on what's the PlayStation service?
PS Now, or PS Plus.
PS Now, it's that one, the one that's temporary. And obviously Game Pass as well. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I this will come down in price because people will forget about it despite it being a great game.
Mm.
I think there will be copies of this for £20 or whatever soon enough.
I enjoyed it. Also, I would have kept it just to 100% it, but I was like, I'm not going to touch it now with Forza and Halo on the horizon. So I thought I'd sell it, and I only lost a fiver on it, which
that's
is not,
amazing.
Not bad
that's
at
fantastic.
All.
That is the great thing about the physical marketplace,
yes,
where you can do that. And that's what we'll lose with the digital age, because games like this maybe won't sell that copy to me.
No.
Because I love that trade-in, like, play it, complete it in a week, trade it, lose a fiver. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I pay £5 for that game.
Yeah. I mean, you what else can you spend £5 on and get 20 hours worth of entertainment?
And you know what? If you wanted to play it again in 6 months' time, you could just buy it for a tenner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's just, that's the way to do it.
Very good game. Can I just, I just wanted to point out as well, I did actually download Dead by Daylight after our conversation last week. And I just got just a little comment on it. I don't know what you're talking about with why you enjoyed it so much.
What? Why not?
I couldn't get on board with it, mate. I obviously when you download it, you got to go through the tutorial stuff, right?
Yeah.
And when I got to the, I played as a survivor, and then I played as the killer, and then you had to play with bots as a survivor, and then obviously play as a killer with bots.
You don't have to; you can just play the game straight away.
I went into that bit anyway. Anyway, bots—they're absolutely fucking dog shit. Also, they were clunky controls, which I didn't like, and just the way. I don't know. Something that made me laugh, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" The screams that they make—they're so bad. Like, it's not even like they're actually in pain. It's like comedy pain doing.
It's not trying to be realistic, but
no, I know.
I don't think their controls are clunky at all.
I don't know. Look, you said that it would be good to play with your mates, and I can see it being some fun for a few hours. But that's probably about it. But only if you're playing with your mates.
It's weird because this is one of the most watched games on Twitch.
Surprising.
Yeah. I watch it daily.
Maybe it's that cat and mouse chase kind of element with it.
That's the fun part of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
That and the fact that the game is actually incredibly simple.
Yeah.
I love that because it's not trying to be anything else. The franchise tie-ins are fantastic as well. Like, they really add to it. And I don't know. I find it exciting because it's a thrill. It's a proper thrill. Every match is a thrill. It's not like you play a match on Halo or something. You just go through the motions. You win or you lose. It doesn't really matter. Like every match is a little bit of intensity.
Yeah. No, I get that. And like obviously the bit where you fix all the generators and then you've got to escape. And then it's either the last survivor can go down the hatch, can't they? If they're the last one. Before getting to the actual end, and
it's cool, good. If you open the gate at the end, and like you can just run straight through, or you could go back and try and get that last person who's hung up, and it's like I love that. It like really adds to the thrill. And when the killer is bearing down on you or whatever, and you're trying to evade him, you're going from here there, you're trying to get away. I think it's an excellent game.
One thing really I will like say it. That I did chuckle properly last week. You did say. the guy that I was playing with pointed somewhere to me, and I was like, I don't know how the fuck you do that, and all you got to do is press up on D-pad, mate.
No, it's a D-pad thing. It's not going to be. Yeah. Well, it's only limited number of controls. Exactly. On a fucking
so
controller.
It just made me laugh that you didn't know how to do a simple command.
It's not as if there
command.
Are an infinite amount of things, and I was like, oh no, I don't know what this is. Like it's a fucking like the Konami code. I knew it was going to be one button press. I just didn't know what it was. You fucking dickhead.
Wow, that took a turn.
Right. Anyway,
what
moving
about
on.
You?
Dead by
you
Daylight. Playing? Great game. We'll play it together. It's all downloaded. Fantastic.
I've also downloaded it. Just so
looking
now.
Forward to it.
Nice.
Right. What have I been playing anyway? I'm going to scroll up on the dock now after Kirk's onslaught there. Right. House of Ashes. I played House of Ashes, didn't I? I started that one. So it came out at the back end of last month and started playing it. I've done two streams of it now. So started streaming it on Twitch, and it's up on our YouTube channel as well. So it catches there, but it's made by the makers of Until Dawn, and in this Dark Pictures anthology, there's also The Man of Badan and Little Hope. But I didn't play either of those two. I've watched them played on stream, but I haven't played them. They're all in the same universe, let's say. But this one has been getting very, very good reviews. So I have started playing it, really, really enjoying it, and. Essentially, it's one of these games, for people that don't know, it's a story / narrative driven game. It's very cinematic. It's where you make choices either through actions or through moral choices that then impact the story and different outcomes. So it could be quick time events, it could be decisions on like, do you save someone or not? In the stream that I was doing before this podcast recording, you have a choice where you can literally just abandon somebody. And I made the brutal choice to do that. Like, and it's like the proper, like, oh, should I do that? Should I not do that? It's very, very good. And it seems to be just like Until Dawn in that respect, where you have like a set number of characters, probably like six characters or something. And essentially you're trying to make them survive the horrors of the game. So your decisions, what you do, you're trying to save as many people as possible. And so far, I think my playthrough says that I've done 44% of the game after the second stream. So we've got all the characters, shit's gone down. It's all about the survival now. I don't want to give any of the story beats away to anyone. But spoilers, there's monsters. And you have to survive the game. But it's very, very good. I don't think that's a spoiler.
Isn't it straight away?
Yeah, no. So it's you know, you know it from the start. But this game is very much reminds me of The Descent, the film.
Yes, I did. Do you know what I was thinking that when watching your stream today?
It
is. I mean, it's very much like that.
The design of these games is all about liking the characters and caring about them and their individual story arcs. And trying, because otherwise you could let someone die or something. But it's supposed to make you want to make them survive, maybe. Even though you've got a bit of a douchebag character or something, it's just about trying to see where their story goes. But yeah, you guys watched the stream as well. What did you think about the game? Because you haven't played any of these other types of games, have you?
It's so story. It's a movie, isn't it? With decisions.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And because of that, I hate it.
Oh, Okay.
Okay.
That's
Jesus.
Yeah, that's strong. Yeah. I did notice that Eddie wasn't watching the stream today, so.
Oh, that explains a lot then.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I have to fucking do all the bloody new releases, so it takes me an hour.
You just got to have it on in the background like you would, like Football Manager or something.
Yeah, so. Just enjoying it. Just enjoying the background chat.
On the background. I've got to admit,
I did the other day, didn't I, on the background for the whole stream. It was great fun, but I didn't have the alert come up.
I think you'll find it's a bit disappointing, actually, because I think Ben did something especially for you earlier on. Quite earlier on, he read something out.
Really? Did you, Ben? Did it go well?
No, I didn't read the whole thing, obviously.
You did? The piece of paper.
Did I read the whole thing?
It was near the beginning.
Okay.
Wow.
Was it a short piece of paper? A
little bit of paper. And I was thinking, that's for Eddie, that is. Eddie's not even on the fucking stream.
Yeah, I famously don't like to read out loud, so reading on stream.
You don't like to read out loud, Ben? Or is it that you're enabled to read out
loud? No, I don't like to. That's the...
Uh-huh. You're not wrong by saying you don't like to.
No, I don't like to either. But the funny thing is that Eddie also doesn't like to, but he ridicules me for that.
Yeah.
When he also is not a great reader out loud. So on the stream, in a game like this, you have numerous things you pick up and like letters and stuff. It's just wasted on the stream. It's wasted on it. I'm not reading them out. We'll let that one go. We'll let that one slip into the night. But yeah, no, I'm actually really enjoying this game. It's not the thing you get with these games is that it can be very, I don't know what word we can read. It can be very like let's call it like American teen movie.
I mean,
it can be very much like that, but this wasn't. I didn't think. I thought this
Ashley Tisdale is in it.
Yes, Ashley Tisdale is in it, and she is being a famous actress. She. You know, has a fairly central role, I think, in it. Because in Until Dawn, it was Hayden Panettiere.
Mm.
She was the big actress.
There
were other actors and actresses in it, but she was the main one, and she was in it right until the end.
Do you know, one thing I did enjoy is how close the camera loves to get to your face.
Yes, I noticed that.
Like, oh, wow. The camera fucking loves my face, doesn't it? Yeah, it's all in on it, and I think that's I decided when I was streaming today, I thought this must be to just try and enhance the claustrophobia.
Yeah.
It must be for a design choice rather than it being a shit camera. It must be doing it on purpose, because especially as you get deeper into the game, and claustrophobia becomes a bit more of a thing with it. But as Eddie said, it is like a movie.
Mm.
It's very much like... But you do have decisions, and these quick time events and different things you have to do. If you do them wrong or incorrectly, then someone dies.
Well, there was something you did today. I won't say, obviously, because of spoilers, but the choices that you had to make today on a ledge, you were your moral compass does come into play, doesn't it?
I do enjoy watching Ben on these games because. I mean, how many people did you kill of your own kind?
Something happened today, Eddie. Again, yeah. Go and watch the video.
God's
but
sake.
I was devastated for a good 10 minutes. I thought, oh fucking hell, what have I done?
No matter what you tried, it's still the thing was going to happen anyway.
Fuck's sake! Yeah, I think it actually was almost predetermined that this. But regardless, I thought I fucked up everything that I was trying to avoid doing. I did. so shit. And sometimes, like, I think I fucked up like 3 or 4 of the quick time events in one go. Like, I misread what it was trying to. I pressed the wrong button, then it was like, then it wanted to do a heartbeat thing, but I didn't know it was that, so I pressed the button and then missed it. And it was like, oh fuck, like, I've just fucked this character who I like, and now they're gonna die. And it's all my fault. It literally is just my fault. The game gave me so many chances to not be shit, but I just took everyone. I am really, really enjoying it. So
that's quite fun.
We will continue with this stream. So, yeah, I think we'll have another one of them, another couple of those this week, I think. Another couple of streams, so nice. Check us out.
Nice.
Right, so that's what we've been playing. So shall we move on to the feature then?
What's that feature called again?
The feature is called, and Kirk has conveniently put the title at this section and not at the top of the doc, but it's called Backlash in Gaming. Who redeemed themselves and who didn't?
think that's quite good.
I like the title. The fact it's got like a subtitle to it as well. Yeah.
Great title. Yeah. So we're going to discuss games that, went all a bit fucked up, and then what they did about it and whether they redeemed themselves or not. So we've all chosen one each, but then we'll have a few honourable mentions, I think, because this is quite this
or
is quite
dishonourable mentions.
lovely. Very good. Right, but I think the topical one to start with is probably Kirk. Do you want to start with Halo?
Yeah, I'll start with Halo. So, well, I mean, where do we begin? Obviously, Halo is due to come out in a month's time. I think a month today, actually. So when it was officially announced, it was announced at E3 2018. So we're looking at three and a half years ago now. Nothing else with it, but the following year, we were told it was going to come to the next generation Xboxes, which hadn't actually been officially announced prior to Halo's announcement. We didn't hear much from it after that. And then in 2020, July, Xbox did a showcase, and among those games was Halo Infinite. And they showed gameplay of the campaign. Now, critics and fans panned it, and this was something that was supposed to be a return to form for the Xbox. So, graphically, it was terrible. The performance didn't do very well. There was pop-in on the level that they were showing. I remember seeing it myself, and I thought to myself, what the fuck? This is supposed to be running on the most powerful console in the world, and there's pop-in on the grass and trees and stuff like that. I was like, this can't be right.
That's the first trailer that fucking
it was bad
ropey.
Wasn't it it was not good. And do you remember Craig the Brute?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean he became an internet sensation infamously due to the fact that when he attacked, it was a brute that attacked Chief in the 2020 showcase video, and he just had the most deadpan lifeless face like ever. It was like someone had scanned a picture of a brute's face and then just plonked it on a 3D model. That's what it looked like. And basically, 343 Industries were ridiculed for it because this didn't look anything like what a next-gen game should look like. So after a month later, it was announced that the game was going to be delayed until 2021. It was then in December 2020 that we were told it would be late 2021. It wasn't until October 2021, which is only last month, that we were told it was coming out on December the 8th. So
yeah, it's mental. Like what they did was great in terms of just staying silent for so long.
Well, they didn't, and that's part of the what they did in response bit. But I'll get to that. Don't worry. They stay silent on the release date, but they weren't staying silent overall. So I mean, I think that gave them some credit for what they were doing. I think one of the funniest things, though, before we get to what they did in response, was the marketing was all fucked up for it. I'm not sure about the Series S boxes, but the Series X boxes on the back have a picture of Chief overlooking the scene, where there's trees and the Halo ring in the background and whatnot, and then a big slogan, Power Your Dreams, on the back of it. Because obviously Halo Infinite was meant to be a launch title for the new consoles. Obviously that didn't come to fruition, and there was no way in hell they were going to get a bunch of new boxes printed just because the game wasn't coming out. And I think even to this day they're still using the same boxes, which obviously makes sense because the game is due
to come out.
That makes
sense because the game's coming out. It's fine.
But isn't that funny that just like all that time and like I remember when my Series X came in the post, and I looked at it and I was like, this is a fucking nice box. Looked at the back of it. Oh, well, that's depressing. I'm not having that now, am I? So what did 343 do in response? Well,
okay, just you've written a page and a half on this.
Yeah.
I've got like 6 bullet points.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I haven't actually gone into all the detail. I'm skimming through it. But thank you for pointing that out. I came
not
prepared. I come prepared. So
just cheat.
Yeah. Just don't worry. Just don't worry about it. So they delayed the game, and gave the reasons why. The main reason why was due to the pandemic. Obviously, we know the real reason.
Oh, the main
why.
Reason because it looks shit.
Yeah,
Kirk.
It looks shit. Yeah. No, we know that. Yeah. It was fantastically shit the way that it looked. But they had to cover it up with something else to like save some face, didn't they? But they gave they gave us regular updates throughout the whole of the development process since they took a back seat with it, which they posted on their blog on their website. The they also gave beta testing flights for it. So obviously recently in September and also early October, they had the multiplayer testing, which was obviously for data accumulation, etc., to kind of like iron out bugs and stuff. And obviously, Ben, you and I played some of that, and
we did, yeah.
It was fucking good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then obviously most recently, we had the new campaign reveal just a couple of weeks ago, and that was showed a lot of what was shown in the trailer from 2020. So a lot of people have done comparisons of both, and I mean, we all know that it looks a lot better now, but if you'd see them side by side, they've done so much work with the fidelity of everything. Everything looks a lot more detailed. Like Chief's armor is now actually scarred up and grazed, and like he's actually been to war rather than it being pristine. The lighting is a lot better, and obviously we all know that lighting is like the biggest thing with games these days.
I noticed most of the rifle, like the scuffs around the corners of the rifle. I thought that was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, that he's in a war zone. This weaponry in his suit and everything around him is not going to be pristine. It has to show like it's been used. And the other thing is, Craig the Brute had a fantastic glow up, because they even like got him up close as well. He's got a nice fucking goatee now. He actually looks like he's got some dimension to his face. And obviously everyone is praising the shit out of it now. And it's just amazing what a year can do. And this is definitely one of the best things that Microsoft could have done, has given them this extra year. Now,
I think one of the most amazing things, and this is just say that we've chosen this title. I mean, you put this feature forward, Kirk, for like the ways that people have responded to the negativity. We still don't know if Halo is going to be any good.
No. Yeah,
and you're talking about it, and I would as well. So this isn't a criticism of you, but you're talking about it like it smashed it.
Yeah, no, I get that, and you're absolutely right to pick me apart on it, and I'm just going based on, obviously, with this type of feature that we're doing, it's based on what we can currently see. At the end of the day, the game looks great, and we've actually played some as well, and that's what matters. If I haven't played any, then I still have a lot more of my reservations, but if they can make the multiplayer good, there's absolutely no way in hell the campaign's going to be shit. You know,
I do think it's gonna be fantastic. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. We don't know for 100% sure whether it's gonna be like fantastic and smash it yet, but all signs are pointing to yes. And it's just what they've done to date is working.
I'll tell you what. I'll talk about a game that I'll do something that you couldn't. I'll talk about a game that actually has shown some some actual results in its turnaround and delivered something.
So, I feel like you started your criticism of Kurt by saying I would do what you, but then you've now gone against him. I'm confused.
Fine. I understand.
I know. I was kind of supportive, but then I don't like the fact that we don't even know how it's panned out. So,
well, we're reviewing anyway. Next month, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, in terms of games that have turned themselves around, I've mentioned it a few times on this pod. Final Fantasy XIV was it's basically the biggest redemption story in gaming, I think. Maybe No Man's Sky, but we could talk about that one. But yeah, Final Fantasy XIV, for those that haven't played it, it's one of the biggest games in the world. And if you don't play MMO RPGs, then you may not even know about it. Or if you don't really follow MMO RPGs or whatever, you may not know about it. But Final Fantasy XIV, it came out originally 2010. It had been in development for 5 years, and it was supposed to come out on Windows and the PlayStation. And it was also supposed to come out on the Xbox, but then they had a disagreement, so it didn't. But basically, it had a beta test, and then it tried to go live, and it did in the September 2010, and that was just on PC. Never actually made its way onto PlayStation 3. Graphically and musically, the game was praised, but it was a fucking disaster. Like, the whole game was a disaster. Final Fantasy XIV came out and it was panned beyond belief. The interface, the gameplay, everything seemed unfinished. It's kind of how eFootball yeah. kind of come out. But the critic and fan kind of backlash caused Square Enix to suspend subscriptions. Imagine if this happened to a game now. Suspend subscriptions and postpone the PS3 launch of the game indefinitely. They replaced all the leadership in the team. They pulled the game down on the servers on November 2012. So 2 years later, they pulled the game completely. They replaced the head of the leadership with Naoki Yoshida. He's quite famous. He's still there today. Who made some improvements to the game, but then just decided to replace the whole thing. Wow. They decided to replace the whole thing to make a new game. Like, this is like so completely fucking unheard of. Imagine Halo, if they'd just gone, right, we'll get rid of it, we'll start it again. It's like Metroid Prime 4, where Nintendo had a little direct for 5 minutes, and they just said,
yeah,
we're really sorry, Metroid Prime 4
just,
is shit.
They've just done the whole thing again, haven't they?
We're starting again.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, we've decided that we've actually made a bad game. We're going to do it again. Like, it's so amazing when that happens. But yet, in August 2013, so 3 years after the original game, they released a new game that was originally, I think, called A Realm Reborn. But it came out on Windows and PS3, and then they later came out on PS4 and PS5. And Square Enix said it was one of the main contributors to them actually being profitable in 2014.
Shit.
Yeah. This game currently, as of October 2021, has 24 million subscribers. It's the most profitable Final Fantasy game ever. They still are releasing huge expansions. They even this year released Endwalker. And it's now the second most played MMORPG behind World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the second biggest game in the world.
Okay.
Well, they did it right. Now you're just taking things and just running with it a bit.
That's a comeback story, guys.
Yeah, no, it's a comeback story, and fucking fair play to them. I mean, this is the thing, though. We don't know what goes on behind the doors of developers, do we? And obviously, then you've got shareholders, you've got your publishers, you've got... There's so much shit going on. Obviously, for Naoki Yoshida? Is that right?
Yeah.
He obviously he made a fucking hard call, but it paid off. And sometimes that's what you need in business, don't you? So
yeah. And I'm just going to say that I know this isn't a competition, but I feel like I've won in bringing this game to the table.
Wasn't sure this was a competition in the first place. We were just having a chat, mate, but cool.
Thanks. I would say if anyone's going to win this, it would actually be Pete's game, but Pete's not here, is he? So
I would say Pete would win as well.
Well, second
Eddie,
place.
Do you want to do yours, and then I'll do Pete's.
Second place. I should count Pete's as my own because I'm the one that handed Pete it, so fuck you.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm Fallout 76. Even though I came up with No Man's Sky, and obviously I know that is like the granddaddy of complete fuck-ups with Redemption Song by Bob Marley coming up the rear. But
I'm sorry?
Yep. Fallout 76 for me had to be my choice because Fallout 3... Fallout New Vegas when it came out was my favourite game for that year. Same with then Fallout 3, then with Fallout 4, if that's the right order. No, I think it went 3, then New Vegas, then 4. Anyway, I was so excited for 76 because I thought Fallout 4 had all the polished things that I loved. It had like cover, it had the amazing base building, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I actually thought it was absolutely brilliant, especially with all the mods that came with it. And then when I saw that Fallout 76 had basically Fallout 4, but it was way more beautiful, I thought this is going to be the game of my life. But as we all know, it was the biggest fuck up of all time. I mean, even before launch, people paid, I think it was £50 for the pre-purchase. I know it was $60 in the US. There was the Power Armor Edition. Do we remember that? That was $200. And I think
they were giving away a helmet?
Yeah, well, there were lots of goodies in it. Right. There was like a duffel bag.
And that was like, and the one in the picture was like really nice, but The actual one was right, like
Ben,
this
Ben, you,
fucking
yep,
shit.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
you, sorry, I'm
you're going through
sorry,
it into you, my whole
you,
thing.
You're
going
you
into my,
thing.
Yeah, my whole thing. You can see you can see I've only got 8 bullet points here, and sorry. 2 of them you've just said. Right. Sorry. Anyway, next point. The beta was only available, so people were paid 50 quid for this pre-purchase beta, right? Obviously, they got the game afterwards. But it was only available for a few hours a day, a few days a week. Wow. And these times were usually bad times, so they were either like in the middle of the day, sometimes in the middle of the night, so people would like get up quickly to be able to play their game that they spent £50 for. And this came out in 2018, so 50 quid, you know, like that was probably the highest you paid in that day. There were a few other things that you couldn't uninstall the beta. And this is a 45 gigabyte game. So if you installed Brilliant. It and you didn't like it and you wanted to go back to like Warzone or something, which was weird because Warzone wasn't out then it would have been really hard to install.
You couldn't uninstall?
Can't uninstall the beta. It took them like 3 weeks to bring out the patch so that they could uninstall.
It was a bug, was it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus.
So it wasn't like they're forcing you to keep it on there. You will play this. You will.
There Holy are other shit. Aspects that like you had to reinstall the game a lot because they would bring out patches for the beta and it wouldn't install again, so they had to reinstall it. And of course
it's weird that you had to reinstall it when you couldn't uninstall it.
Well with a 45 gigabyte game it takes a long time to install that anyway. But hey, launch came along November 2018. We can only assume things went up from there, but it didn't. Bethesda issued a warning before the day of the launch saying, watch out, there are a lot of bugs. There were 200 bugs identified at launch.
Brilliant.
200 different bugs. That's not 200 people identifying a bug. That's 200 different bugs that were identified. The PC version didn't have any graphical options. So people that didn't like who bought it knowing that their PC couldn't quite handle it but they just could whack the settings down couldn't do that. None of it was available. Even the brightness slider wasn't there.
Wow.
Ben, the Power Armor edition, the physical copy, they were all late. They couldn't ship them out on time. And then when they did come, the duffel bag was just replaced with a shitty little sack.
Yeah, there we go.
Bethesda issued an apology for this, because obviously they didn't tell people that this was happening. But, you know, this is quite nice of Bethesda. You know that these people spent $200 on this. They did issue them 500 Atom points, which is about £5 worth of in-game currency.
Brilliant. Now that is 200 IQ, because you're giving them value to spend it in your game, which inherently has no value.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
And the best thing is that like the cheapest thing you can buy in that store is like 10 quid. So you have to chuck more money in.
That's fantastic. That is 200 IQ.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing. The meat part of the game, I mean, the game itself was an absolute shambles. I cannot believe I surprised I didn't get this on day one, but thank God I didn't. I mean, there's no NPCs in. Well, there were no NPCs in it. It was solely multiplayer focused. There was no real story. It was all about like getting tapes and like listening to the tapes. It just every single bit of the game went away from the core of what Fallout is a great NPC action RPG. And just gone down what was popular at the time, which was multiplayer. I mean, do you remember the base building? It had like, I mean, it still does have the, you build a base and then you just have a blueprint and then you stick that blueprint in another area. I mean,
you know the NPCs thing?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like at E3 or something 2 years ago where they mentioned they were going to put NPCs in and the crowd cheered?
Yeah.
Because, and it seemed like they placed like actors in the cloud, in the crowd to cheer or something.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I'm making that up, but for the purpose of this conversation, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, 100% fact. I'm not 100%. Surprised. I mean, what an absolute clusterfuck. It came out, it got 50, around 50s on Metacritic. So
nice. 50 well-earned points.
50 well-earned points. From the usual, you know, like 90s that Fallout games get. And all Bethesda games really get a 50. Absolutely disgusting. How was did they?
Was it this game as well that they released alongside? You know when consoles come out and they have like package deals with a bunch of games lobbed in with them. Wasn't this one of the games that they added to?
Couldn't give it away, could they?
No, I'm pretty sure this was added for free, essentially, to a lot of Xbox sales and PlayStation sales.
Probably.
I think you're right.
Because of how bad it was.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Probably, why not? No one will take
it. Sorry, Eddie, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No worries. We're going into the aftermath now. So, how did they deal with this? They didn't. The first few months, patches... patches barely helped any of the fucking 200 bugs. And here's the funny thing. The patches that did come out actually brought more bugs with them. So they might have fixed something, but because they were trying to rush the patches, it meant more bugs from different things kept on flooding in. They introduced the £12 per month subscription. Do you remember this? Which got you access.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's got you access to Private Worlds, exclusive utility and cosmetic items. Here's what's hilarious. For this, a lot of the features for these things, especially in the Private Worlds, it didn't work. Too many bugs.
Yeah, lovely.
That's great.
£12. Yeah,
£12, please.
The person who has seen this, the release of this game, seen how badly it's done, and still gone, should we go ahead with a £12 subscription? Yeah, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah, go on then. If you're all in, you're all in at that point. You're through the looking glass at that point, aren't you? If you're playing this game, you're like, yeah, all right.
Exactly. Was it people controlling CD Projekt at the time?
Very good. No, they were splitting their time between that and Cyberpunk. The DLCs they added did bring MGCs, but I mean, and apparently the story was okay with them. You know, like you get to choose sides and stuff, like the old Fallouts had, but I mean, that is way too little, way too late. And for me, it's the most devastating thing in gaming for me, to go from my favorite franchise ever, and to go from a game that I didn't even buy. I played it when it came out on Game Pass. In fact, it's still on Game Pass now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I played it for about 4 hours, and I was devastated. Even knowing how shit game it is, still devastated.
But they've got base building, and you've got two locations you can base build at, is that right?
You can! Yes, Kurt, yeah. That's right. Yes, yeah. Brilliant. So you can copy and paste your blueprint over to a new area.
Nice.
Oh, fuck me.
And even that didn't get you in.
No, it did not.
I think this is the example of a game that hasn't pulled it back, and even when you're a major franchise. And this is the issue that a lot of big franchises and games have when they put something out there that isn't quite finished or isn't in a fantastic state. Even those guys are susceptible to not being able to pull it back. Now, not everyone's going to do a Final Fantasy kind of comeback on this.
Ben, you know voting on the best one. You know that, right?
Yeah, not everyone is going to do a Halo comeback. But, but Halo could just take a year off. I mean, that was great on that one. But yeah, Fallout, they've just not been able to recover it. I think also they were in the limelight too much. I mean, the other one that you mentioned at the start there, No Man's Sky, and I'll talk about that briefly now, and it would have been Pete's game, so I won't go into massive detail, but No Man's Sky was one of these that kind of left the limelight to a degree, because do you remember this? No Man's Sky, was it a launch game for PlayStation? It wasn't a launch title for PlayStation 4, was it? But it was just this incredibly hyped game, which was revolutionary. It was space travel. It was infinite in its kind of procedurally generated worlds and all this kind of stuff. Just built up to be something huge. Essentially, No Man's Sky was an indie game.
Yeah.
It was an indie game, which PlayStation recognized, had greatness within it, and it became almost a brand ambassador, didn't it? It became almost PlayStation and No Man's Sky ran together. And this came out. A lot of promises were made. There were promises about being able to find other players. Everyone's playing in the same universe. When somebody goes to a world, it procedurally generates that world. That's how it will be forevermore, if somebody else came to join it. But to find your friend would be... You know, you'd have to find them over the universe
and
all this kind of stuff.
That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah. God. You couldn't find your... What turned out to be, you couldn't find your friend. Like, two people pretty quickly tried to travel to each other. They worked out in this fucking universe that was created where to meet. They went the same place at the same time, and they were not there. And that's when it was kind of found out. And No Man's Sky was one of these things which was, it was almost, it sounded too good to be true. This survival game, which just had everything. It was everything that we, as some young gamers or whatever, had dreamt of. This kind of universe, a complete universe where you get to build whatever you want, do whatever you want. But it had such a lack of anything. It had a lack of story. It had a lack of NPCs. It had a lack of any kind of cooperative multiplayer. It had a lack of direction. Like, the direction of the game was just get to the center of the universe. That was just the point of the game. It was just, it had so little to it in that respect. And people tore this game a new one when it came out.
Yeah, rightly so.
It wasn't the game's fault, though. I mean, Sean Murray, the man behind it, it wasn't his fault. Like, PlayStation were piling money into this. And they were marketing the shit out of it. You know, this was huge. Pete's written here, his quote about launch was, it was as bad as it can get. Because it was. I mean...
Yeah, it's in Cyberpunk.
Well, actually, the beauty of this game, though, was it's kind of like Valheim. When Valheim came out and Valheim sold 4.5 million copies or whatever, think about the money that's just gone into that indie developer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they'd never seen so much money. And No Man's Sky came out as a full-price game and everyone bought it. I bought a PS4 for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't at launch because I bought a second-hand PS4. But for this game.
Do you think that it was obviously... The vision was there, but there was just... He wanted to do too much too soon.
No. I think the vision was there, but he was an indie developer. It was an indie team.
Yeah.
So
they didn't have the resources then.
No, it wasn't their fault. I don't think any of this was the No Man's Sky's developer's fault. It was just that I think it was PlayStation's fault through and through. Absolutely through and through.
What pushed them to get something out just to...
No, they marketed something that wasn't real.
Okay.
And then No Man's Sky just got absolutely railroaded. However, the bank account was fat. It was fucking fat.
That's a strange way to put it.
And you know what they did with it? They put all of that fucking money back into making this game a proper fucking game. They added storylines. They did expansions. They added base building. They added underwater base building. They added co-op play. They added more kind of NPCs that you interact with. They just made it better. The amount of DLCs to this game is extensive. I mean, Eddie, you've played a lot of No Man's Sky, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely love it. I think I said the other day, it's one of two games where I've actually got like screenshots as my background on Steam. It's a fantastic game. I remember when it first came out and I was as disappointed as anyone, but just every single time a new DLC came out and you looked at it, and you were so impressed with how much was coming in. I remember the amount of times I'd message Pete going, Pete, have you seen the new update? Have you seen the new update? Have you seen the new update? Every single time it came out with such amazing things. And it was always free, wasn't it? It was always free. And that's amazing because they could do a Fallout 76 and go, another 30 quid. But
people continued to buy this game and so they continued to put money into it. And that's the thing, Like I said, I bought this game and it was well after launch. Mm. I bought this game like 6 months in. I still wanted this game because of what it was supposed to be. It was like, it was this landmark, this almost this legendary game that had come out.
The thing is, Hello Games now are going to have because they've gone from nothing to absolutely smashing something, they're going to have a great kind of, what's the word, the fans are going to be there for the next project, aren't they? So
yeah, because they were there for the fans. This is like they released the Foundation update, and that was the first big thing. But there was Pathfinder, Atlas Rises, and then I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, like DLC, like all these massive improvement DLCs, like. It's crazy what they've done to this game. And I tell you what, when I got my new PC, You know what the first game I loaded on that PC was to see how good it looked?
No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky, wasn't it?
No Man's Sky. Fucking no Man's Sky. You guessed it.
I win.
But yeah, it was absolutely... This game was fucking incredible how they've turned this around. And the fact that they've added a story mode, because when I played it and then suddenly there's like... There's a direction. There's a reason.
Yeah.
There's something added to it. Mm. That just makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Really, really good game. Really good survival game. Yeah, but I think we could have talked about, like, we've mentioned Cyberpunk a fucking million times in this, but what can we say other than,
if you don't know the problems about Cyberpunk by now, then where have you been?
Well, also it still has exactly the same problems. It's had some, well, a lot of the bugs have been figured out, but it still, you know, looks like shit on the old console. It's still not there. Yeah. Can I just say,
okay, this is a perfect example of a game that was trying to do too much and they didn't scale it back properly. Now, I'm going to use Forza as an example here. I know I haven't played it yet, but I've seen the Digital Foundry breakdown of the video playing against Xbox Series X all the way down to the Xbox One console, and the game runs fucking smoothly on an Xbox One console. Now, obviously, it's been scaled back, but it's perfectly running on.
It's
that
also
console.
A zoomy zoomy game.
Though, yeah, zoomy zoomy. Yeah.
The fact of the matter is,
honky honky.
It's, yeah, okay. Do you know what? You two are fuckers. You know
that ain't just, making game of the year.
Yeah. Well, I've got nothing else to say. Go on, carry on.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So
sorry.
Casually.
I lost my train of thought because you talk about zoomy zoomies, but yeah, with Cyberpunk, I also think it's a casualty of reputation because. We've said it before on the show. Kurt, you played it on a Series X. I played it on a PS5. Pete played it on a PC.
Brute force.
We all thought it was a fairly decent game. But it suffered. Like, people think this game is a pile of shit.
Because
that's not true. It's just not the game that it was supposed to be.
The skeletons are there, but the muscles, the fat are not there.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a one-time playthrough, this game's very good. When you realise that nothing you do matters, like no decisions really impact anything other than like the last one you make, it all kind of falls apart at the seams when there's not really a world around you. It's just your linear storyline kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for a first-time playthrough, it's okay. And if you play on a next-gen hardware, it's okay again.
But then you said about, obviously, it was to do with... It was like a pit of the reputation that they had. They obviously did something similar with Witcher 3, didn't they?
Yes, but they were lesser known there. Because The Witcher 1 and 2 were successes.
Yeah.
But they weren't huge as a studio until Witcher 3. I'm correct in saying that, Eddie, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Witcher 2 was good. I even got Witcher 2 when it came out. It's good for the RPG kind of gamers, but my God, Witcher 3 made it a huge developer then.
So they could put out a game with boatload of bugs, wasn't quite there, whatever, because they weren't the biggest studio. No. And then they could recover it quite quickly. But when you have something that they did with Cyberpunk and then it goes to shit,
it's in the line.
They then have to appease everyone by doing certain things. Like, let's just say, to fix that game, it may not have been best to fix what they fixed at the start, but they had to because that's what people demanded. And so it gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel for them, and I think, you know, it was the upper management that obviously forced this game out early.
Going back to what you said, Witcher 3, remember, was riddled at the beginning, wasn't it? But
yes.
People don't talk about how much of a horrendous launch it was, because at the time, Witcher 3 and CD Projekt Red weren't massive at the time.
Yeah, nobody gave a fuck, that's why.
Yeah, and it's only through people eventually more and more playing Witcher 3 goes, holy shit, Witcher 3 is amazing, who is this CD Projekt Red that they can create huge games? And by that point, no one is even talking about how a shit launch it was. Yeah.
No, and so actually, CD Projekt Red hadn't had a successful launch of a game in a generation
ever really.
No, ever, yeah, like ever. They'd had nothing, but they were the darlings of, I mean, they're like Naughty Dog, like, can't do any wrong.
Yeah,
they're like Rockstar,
except for they can't do any wrong. Did
who, what, Naughty Dog?
No,
oh, CD Projekt Red. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, apologies.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly, they were the darlings and they just fucked up massive, but they'd never actually released a game a massive game successfully.
Were there any? What were the other games that we've got? Which
the honourable mentions.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
dishonourable mentions. Eddie, come on.
Well, we've got the Master Chief Collection on there, which I do agree with actually, because on day one that was an absolute clusterfuck.
It was fucking dog shit, mate. And I'm a huge Halo fan personally, and having all of the first four games together, because that was what launched initially with it, was amazing to have them all in one place. And the whole idea of this game was to combine them all, so you could just jump in and out of any game in an instant, and then go online and play games from Halo 1, 2, 3, or 4, and switch between them without having to jump in and out of each game differently. And yeah. No fucking game would load. I remember playing this on the original Xbox One, and I think I was there for 45 minutes to an hour before I got into one fucking game.
Yeah, that's Kurt, nuts. On day one, I bought this, and I bought enough controllers so that Eddie and Pete and people came round so we could play Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, did you have fun?
We couldn't. We didn't play one game. Yeah,
it was so really
Master
bad.
Chief Collection was ropey. Destiny, you've put Destiny down here. That was ropey to start with, but turned out to be an exceptional game. I fucking loved that campaign with all the DLCs.
I did as well. It's just it was very reminiscent of what they did with Halo 2, because the campaign was fucking short. It was I can't remember the hours that it was, but it wasn't a lot. And considering this was a new IP from a very respected developer, i.e. Bungie. That was not what people were expecting, but the gameplay was fantastic. The gunplay was great because they knew what they were doing. It's just online issues to begin with, and yeah, clunky campaign. So
yeah, well, we've also got Rockstar Games. So these have taken two different turns, but GTA Online had massive server issues on launch, and then has turned out to be a fucking phenomenal sensation. However, Red Dead 2 Online has just been a clusterfuck and left to die.
They're not going to redeem themselves from that, are they?
Wait. No, and I mean, that was tenuous, correct.
That's the point.
But that game was also shit as well, Red Dead 2.
No, come on, stop doing that.
Absolute shite.
Terrible game. Absolute fucking
Ross shite. Ross is going to be fucking furious.
Yeah. Have you played it, Kirk?
Yeah, I completed it.
Yeah, shit, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, great.
No, fuck off.
And also, you've written every Bethesda game that has ever existed.
That wasn't me.
Who put that?
I don't know. If it wasn't you two, then it was definitely Pete.
Right, well, somebody's
definitely Pete. Brilliant. But there's a story there somewhere.
There's a story there somewhere. Anyway, so a lot of these big games, success stories and not. But yeah, that was a trip down memory lane there for a few. But I definitely won with Final Fantasy XIV.
It's not a fucking competition.
Anyway, should we do the socials?
Some loser would
we
say that, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You didn't win either.
Kirk didn't even have something that has redeemed itself.
Like, it hasn't even come out yet.
No.
Okay,
ridiculous.
Guys. Okay, yeah.
Ridiculous.
I apologise to our listeners for Kirk's suggestion.
I'm not sorry.
You wouldn't have thought this was Kirk's actual suggestion of a feature as well.
A feature, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But if you would like to have a go at Kirk for not bringing something to the table that had actually redeemed itself or not, you can email us at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us, actually, @grumpygamerspod. So you can tweet Kirk and he will respond. So you can have a go at him there.
Yeah.
And we've got Twitch and YouTube at Grumpy Gamers Podcast on Twitch. It's one word. And on YouTube, it's Grumpy Gamers Podcast. So we've got all our Twitch videos up there.
We would love any feedback. Anything would be good.
Anything positive.
Anything would be good. Anything positive.
Negative as well. We can take a punch or two.
Oh,
don't do too much, though.
I'd rather you keep it to yourselves. But, you know, whatever. Right, okay. Until next week, I think it's GG.
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 That's the longest GG.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
To be fair, it was because you intro'd you and then Eddie and then me, so I was keeping it with what had been done to begin with.
Consistency. Yeah. I like that. Nice. Okay, good stuff.